Good morning, friends. I am happy for the opportunity to come your way again by means of radio with a message from the Word of the Lord. If you have your Bibles laying there on the shelf or on the seat beside you in the car, just open them up to 1 John, the 2nd chapter, and let us begin with verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, who do you think these scriptures apply to? Is it to the church, or is it to an individual? Here it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Then it goes on to point out those things which are so destructive. The 16th verse tells us, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. It is a warning to abstain from the things of the world. I believe this does apply to an individual. It is also a warning to the church to keep herself unspotted from the world. There have been movements whose members were awakened to a spiritual life through Christ, and how carefully they did avoid the things of the world. But as time went on, these individuals weakened in their stand for truth and allowed the world to come in. Just as surely as the world begins to penetrate the church, there will be a decline and a falling away from the truth. Worldliness is accompanied by an ungodly spirit. Now listen to the solemn warning from 1 John, the 4th chapter and beginning with verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Then this verse from 1 John 3:13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. So, dear ones, do not be surprised if the world turns its back on you because you will not walk with them. However, the scriptures foretell a great falling away before the coming of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 puts it this way. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And now, this poem, which so well describes what many professed Christians are doing today. The church walking with the world. The church and the world walk far apart on the changing shores of time. The world was singing a giddy song, and the church a hymn sublime. Come, give me your hand, cried the merry world, and walk with me this way. But the good church hid her snowy hand and solemnly answered, Nay, I will not give you my hand at all, and I will not walk with you. Your way is the way of endless death. Your words are all untrue. Nay, walk with me but a little space, said the world with a kindly air. The road I walk is a pleasant road, and the sunshine always there. Your path is thorny and rough and rude, and mine is broad and plain. My road is paved with flowers and gems, and yours with tears and pain. The sky above me is always blue. No want, no toil, I know. The sky above you is always dark. Your lot is a lot of woe. My path, you see, is a broad, fair path, and my gate is high and wide. There is room enough for you and for me to travel side by side. Half shyly, the church approached the world and gave him her hand of snow. The old world grasped it and walked along, saying in accents low, "Your dress is too simple to please my taste. I will give you pearls to wear, rich velvet and silks for your graceful form, and diamonds to deck your hair." The church looked down at her plain white robes, and then at the dazzling world, and blushed as she saw his handsome lip with a smile contemptuously curled. "I will change my dress for a costlier one," said the church with a smile of grace. Then her pure garments drifted away, and the world gave in their place beautiful satins and shining silks and roses and gems and pearls. And over her forehead her bright hair fell crisp in a thousand curls. "Your house is too plain," said the proud old world. "I'll build you one like mine, carpets of Brussels and curtains of lace and furniture ever so fine." So he built her a costly and beautiful house. Splendid it was to behold. Her sons and her beautiful daughters dwelt there, gleaming in purple and gold. And fairs and shows in the halls were held, and the world and his children were there, and laughter and music and feasts were heard in the place that was meant for prayer. She had cushioned pews for the rich and the great to sit in their pomp and their pride, while the poor folks, clad in their shabby suits, sat meekly down outside. The angel of mercy flew over the church and whispered, "I know thy sin." The church looked back with a sigh and longed to gather her children in. But some were off in the midnight ball, and some were off at the play, and some were drinking in gay saloons. So she quietly went her way. The sly world gallantly said to her, "Your children mean no harm, merely indulging in innocent sports." So she leaned on his proffered arm and smiled and chatted and gathered flowers as she walked along with the world, while millions and millions of deathless souls to the horrible pit were hurled. "Your preachers are all too old and plain," said the gay old world with a sneer. "They frighten my children with dreadful tales, which I like not for them to hear. They talk of brimstone and fire and pain and the horrors of endless night. They talk of a place that should not be mentioned to ears polite. I will send you some of the better stamp, brilliant and gay and fast, who will tell them that people may live as they list and go to heaven at last. The Father is merciful and great and good, tender and true and kind. Do you think he would take one child to heaven and leave the rest behind?" So he filled her house with gay divines, gifted and great and learned, and the plain old men that preached the cross were out of the pulpit turned. "You give too much to the poor," said the world, "far more than you ought to do. If the poor need shelter and food and clothes, why need it trouble you? Go, take your money and buy rich robes and horses and carriages fine and pearls and jewels and dainty food and the rarest and costliest wine. My children, they dote on all such things, and if you their love would win, you must do as they do and walk in the ways that they are walking in." The church held tightly the strings of her purse and gracefully lowered her head and simpered, "I've given too much away. I'll do, sir, as you have said." So the poor were turned from her door in scorn, and she heard not the orphan's cry, and she drew her beautiful robes aside as the widows went weeping by. And the sons of the world and the sons of the church walked closely hand and heart, and only the Master, who knoweth all, could tell the two apart. Then the church sat down at her ease and said, I am rich and in goods increased. I have need of nothing and naught to do but to laugh and dance and feast. The sly world heard her and laughed in his sleeve and mockingly said aside, The church is fallen, the beautiful church, and her shame is her boast and pride. The angel drew near to the mercy seat and whispered in sighs her name. And the saints their anthems of rapture hushed and covered their heads with shame. And a voice came down through the hush of heaven from him who sat on the throne, I know thy work, and how thou hast said, I am rich, and hast not known that thou art naked and poor and blind and wretched before my face. Therefore from my presence I cast thee out and blot thy name from its place. Our Father, we're so glad that you do have a church without spot and blameless, and they're not walking with the world. These are the ones whose robes have been washed white in the blood of the Lamb. Bless each true child of God this day and give them grace to walk with thee, whatever the cost, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
There is a story I often must ponder when all alone it comes over my mind. 'Tis of that stranger, that heavenly wonder, who in compassion came seeking mankind. Lonely, dear Jesus, lonely I ponder over my sins and the future of woe. Yet thou art calling, O Lord, I surrender. Jesus, thy love and thy mercy bestow. Why come from heaven and travail in sorrow? Why bear our burden of sin on thy cross? Did he not see us all hopeless forever, bound to destruction and infinite loss? Love
until we meet again. This is Willie Marcus saying, may God's richest blessings be with each of you, and a very careful goodbye.
Future of woe, yet thou art calling, O Lord, I surrender. Jesus, thy love and thy mercy bestow.